going on. Connected or not, I think we're on our own.
You Jedi and your mysteries,
Tree said, Leku shrugging.
So where are they?
They must have gone down already.
Down?
There are tunnels beneath the ruins. Caverns, lakes, deep places.
I've had enough of the underground.
Lannery looked at him, one eyebrow raised, although this time she did not say, You don't have to come.
Let's make it quick, Tree said.
You're feeling better?
Your drugs are keeping it at bay.
Lannery landed the ship, and together they approached the old city. The landscape seemed over-familiar, though she had been here only once, almost as if she had always wished to return. She led them through a shallow valley and past a hill that might once have been a pyramid. They followed the footprints of four people in the long, damp grass. Her heart was beating fast, and a sense of impending dread crushed in around her. They really believe they're here to start a hypergate, she thought, and the idea was staggering. If everything went wrong, they might doom the system. But if the hypergate was real, and the device actually worked, Dale might be building a step to the stars. What explorer could not feel a thrill of excitement at that? At last, they stood close to an entrance to the old city's underground, and Lannery recognized it as the way she had come before. A sense of déjà vu struck home, hard, and much that had happened since that first fated descent felt like a dream.
I don't like this place,
Tree said, snapping her back to reality.
Feels
strange, she said. I sense that everything is about to change, Master Dan Powell had said. Once again, Lannery pursued her brother beneath Tython's surface, not knowing what might lie beneath. Not long after descending from the light, they came across the first of Dan Powell's safeguards. The Cathar Stargazer woman had been sliced into several parts. Her head had rolled down a slight slope and now rested, staring up at them. The rest of her lay scattered across the tunnel floor. The blood was still wet and warm, its smell sickening. Her eyes reflected Lannery's glow rod light accusingly, and Lannery sensed the force about the trap that had been sprung here. Set into the wall was a series of laser pods, all of them expended now. But they had fulfilled their purpose. Only Dale and two others left, Lannery said.
And now they know there are traps.
I doubt they'll fall for the next one.
Let's hope we don't,
Tree said. These are set by my people, Lannery said.
Then there must be something down here worth protecting.
Lannery did not reply, because she had thought the same. The Jedi Council had charged her with stopping her brother, and they had surely assumed that she would have succeeded long before now. This was the final step in his plan, and still he was ahead of her. But they would not have guessed that. These traps were here to prevent anyone from entering the deeps of the old city, and they had been placed recently. They continued their descent. Lannery probed ahead, her senses less befuddled down here. Perhaps the force storm on the surface was calming, or maybe the solid bulk of Tython between her and the storm acted as a shield. The force felt disturbed but settled. She used it with confidence, and the next trap was obvious. Dale and the others had also been aware of it. They had filled a robe with rocks and thrown it ahead, and the shredded material and cracked rocks bore the scorch marks of spent laser pods. They're moving quickly, Lannery said.
How can you tell?
That's my brother. Lannery drew her sword as they moved on. She recognized some of the caverns and tunnels, the large, stepped descents, and the strange engravings on some of the walls, but she kept focused. The pursuit. The Jedi safeguards. They were all that mattered. If it existed, she had no idea how far down the hypergate might be. As they crossed a hallway with carved stone pillars and plinths bearing strange, time-worn sculptures, she saw a flash in the distance. It illuminated a high arched doorway for a moment before fading, then came again. The white-hot scorch of a laser blast.
Another trap triggered, Tree said, and Lannery nodded. They were close. She ran. Perhaps expectation smothered caution. The chase was almost at an end, and her determination to face Dale again before he triggered the device was a hot, driving thing. She probed with her force senses, detected nothing amiss, and trusted that. She did not take into account that her senses were obscured, and that the force was once again shivering at the storms above. Whatever the reason, she led the way into danger. The laser trap had been set across a wide tunnel, and smoke was still rising from the heavy object that had been used to spring it. The rock had been neatly sliced in two, severed parts glowing. They can't be more than 100 steps ahead, she thought, and as she concentrated on running quietly, shielding her mind and readying herself for what was to come, she saw a flurry of movement on her left. Lannery! Tree shouted behind her, and he pushed her forward. Maybe he tripped, shoving her as he fell. Or perhaps he did so on purpose. The hail of blaster fire echoed across the tunnel, smashing rock to molten pellets, and the Stargazer had fired 5 times before Lannery raised her sword. She deflected 2 more shots and leaped across the tunnel with barely any effort. She landed beside the man and swung the sword, severing both of his arms just below the elbows. Forearms and blaster fell to the ground. The man gasped quietly and took 2 steps back until he was standing against the tunnel wall. He looked down at his gouting stumps, then up at Lannery, eyes wide. She swung her sword through his chest, cutting him almost in two. As he dropped dead, she turned around, ready to encourage Tree onward and tell him to be careful, because now Dale and the last Stargazer knew they were close on their tail. But Tree did not need telling, because he was dead. 1 blast had struck him high on the side of his neck, scorching across the back of his skull. He had fallen onto his front, arms still outstretched.
Oh, Tree,
Lannery whispered, because she didn't know what else to say. She dashed to his side, ready to snatch up his blaster and run on. A bubble of blood formed at his nose. She touched his hand, his wrist, and felt a weak pulse fluttering like a bird in a trap. The wound looked bad, yet he still breathed. But Lannery knew there was no time. I'm sorry, she said, and she left Tree in the dark and ran on. Her only comfort was in knowing that, were he conscious, he would understand. As she had been that first time in the depths of the old city, she was now alone.